Welcome to the Ladies Night Podcast. This is your host, Lauren and Shannon, here with my girls, Lexi Lex and Nika Neek. We are here tonight. This is season 2, episode 2, but we did drop a little bit of a bonus episode. Listen to your girl. And we hope you guys listened to it, and we hope since then you have been listening to your girl and you took some needed advice from that.
Yes. Get that thing smelling right.
Right. Smelling right, acting right, feeling right, and I promise you'll feel so much better. So this week we are discussing romance versus finance and what that looks like. Which, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of a relevant conversation, number one, just because money's always been like a top reason for divorce, I think. And then number two, Kevin Hart recently cheated on his wife or whatever, and people are always getting discussions about, at the end of a divorce, who gets what and the fight over money after that. So I feel like, damn, hopefully that never happens to any of us. I'm going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. If it happens, we're going to talk about it.
My first marriage is going to be my last marriage.
Okay.
I ain't getting married. I decided.
I hope I do, but I'm going to just put it in God's hands.
Amen.
He knows this.
Right? AKA, we're going to see what happens. But before we get into that, Miss Nika is going to give us our parenting tip for the week.
Okay, so for the last few couple of months, Malik has been a picky eater. All he wants is hot dogs, chicken nuggets.
Hot dog is really a pancake on a stick. He loves his pancake on a stick. But so I'm having a hard time getting him to eat his fruits and his vegetables. So I bought some of the Bold House smoothie drinks, the green goodness. It has fruits and vegetables in it. Mahari, she gets pretty constipated quite often. But since they started drinking that, and I water it down a little bit because it's really sweet, but they've both been doing pretty good. So you got to get them their fruits and vegetables any way you can sneak them in. And they have not only the green ones, but they have some with carrots in them. And so just a bunch of different drinks to choose from. So definitely give those a try, y'all. And they always have coupons because they're not the cheapest, I won't lie. But Kroger always has coupons and sales on them.
Right. And on top of that, it's good for you and good for your kids. And you know, if they see you drinking it, they're going to want some anyway. So mm-hmm. You might as well get some for them too, since it's healthy.
And you can make your own smoothie. I make my own sometimes. There's plenty of websites that show you how. There's a page on Instagram called Simple Green Smoothies that posts a different recipe for a smoothie every day. So, and they're real easy to make yourself. It might be expensive to collectively purchase all of the ingredients, but it's going to be cheaper in the long run if you're adamant about the smoothies for you and your kids. So.
All right. Thank you, Miss Nika, for that parenting tip. I'm definitely going to try that with Peanut because she definitely is a kid who loves her chicken nuggets and french fries and spaghetti and bread and pizza, which is basically starch and meat.
Right. Constipation.
Right. And all that starch is not good for you. So I'm definitely going to try that with her. But she loves yogurt, so I feel like she'll love smoothies
too. Yeah. And for people who don't like yogurt, you don't have to put yogurt in it. But smoothies, they're good for your girl too. So,
right, amen to that.
Just the food you eat can affect her. You know, you treat her good, she'll treat you good.
Okay, and treat your man
better. She'll be so nice to you.
Right. So, Miss Lex has a story from a friend of a friend or a question from a friend of a friend. And, guys, please send us your situation, the what would you do ifs or stuff that you got yourself into, because we would love to give you advice or at least give it to our listeners and maybe they can have some good advice for you. So, with that being said, Lex, what's going on with the friend of a friend?
Well, the friend of a friend is in a bit of a dilemma. So there was this guy that the friend of a friend was dealing with for a little bit. The guy seemed interested. And so they was texting and stuff a little bit. Ended up doing the do on a drunk night. But the do wasn't doing it for her. that made sense. So, yeah, basically it didn't go as planned. It wasn't the best. So, yeah. So, then some time passed, and then they ended up reconnecting again, started talking, and asked to hang out, kick it. After kicking it, they decided to do the do again. She said, I'm giving a, you know, second chance, you know. Doing the do still did not go as planned. It actually ended up being even more disappointing in this situation.
More than the first time?
More than the first time. Because the first time, alcohol was involved.
Whoa.
So that was the pass that was given. Like, okay, maybe just too much of the Henny dick and it just,
right.
Yeah.
See, fellas, let's just take a pause for a second. I understand first you want to drink and you want to throw that drunk dick up on her, but please don't drink too much.
It's where you can't perform because it's right. just so wrong.
And same for the women, because I have fallen asleep during drunk sex before.
Really?
You're right. Yes. We need to hold ourselves accountable. You're right.
Yes.
Right.
Know your limit. Know your limit.
Knowing your limit is real. It is very real. So the second time, even more disappointed because there wasn't alcohol involved, but the dude just still did not do. It just did not go. So time has passed. They haven't really talked at all, seen each other around and say, hey, how you doing? But no texting, no nothing. Now, all of a sudden, the man is hitting the friend of the friend back up again, saying, oh, you look good. When can I see you? We should hang out. You know, I'm free. So the question is, A, do we give, or one, do we give them a second chance? A third chance. I'm sorry, this is a third chance. Do we give them a third chance to see if maybe third time's the charm, the second time was nerves. Maybe they just wasn't ready for what she had putting down, you know. Or we just be like, nah, man, you had two tries. Let it go. And the other question is, it's a two-parter. What is the motive behind all of this? Is it we ran out of hoes? We just trying to redeem ourselves?
Yeah, that's
we
what
just
I'm
trying to hit?
Right,
what
do niggas
is,
ever really run out of hoes?
I feel like niggas go through dry spells.
I feel like they don't. Obviously, they got people hit up from 2 months ago that still be like, yeah, come on through. You know?
That is a good question. Or maybe they just front. I don't know. There's, it has, okay, either they go through dry spells or they fucking with somebody that they don't really like.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens. You know, you don't want to be by yourself, so you put yourself in the company of anybody sometimes.
True. Or maybe the ones they had on the team, they started kicking off because the ones on the team was looking for more and they not looking for more. So then they slowly but surely had to kick them off the team, and now they're back at square one. So it's like, let me go back and revisit her, because it's not like we actually call it quits. We just ain't talking no more.
It's a no from me.
Mm-hmm.
There's
it's a
not
no for
be
me, dog.
A third chance. Two was plenty. I usually only give one, and I might never talk to you again. And you know, two is plenty. Why continue to take the risk for somebody that's just not pleasuring you?
Right. Cause I feel
just
like,
so they can say they had sex with you.
Right. Because I feel like I said, first time, alcohol, one thing. Second time, you're like basically completely sober. Like there's
see, no we'd have been sober and we'd have been drunk. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And was there anything increasingly better about it the second time?
The second time,
girl, now, she said it was worse.
Well, okay, so
that was like a rhetorical question.
Well, I will say it was worse as far as disappointing. Like, you know, my thing is personally, don't talk up all this good game. Like, I'm going to do this to you, or, you know, can I do this with you? And then it start off good.
Licks.
And then it start off good, you know, and then next, it just falls off. Like, don't gas me up to let me down. Because then I'm going to have certain expectations.
That's worse than if it's just bad and I didn't have no expectations.
Right, exactly. You know? Like, you've been talking stuff up.
Worse.
And I already gave you the second chance I'm giving you. And then, you know, you get to go and it's like, okay, he lived it. Wait, hold on. What happened? Is something wrong?
Right. That's not what you said.
Wait. And then this
I
is also
a little bit boozled, hoodwinked.
And then this is a third part of the question. Now, and this is just a curious thing as to what y'all think. Do condoms possibly can they possibly inhibit a man's performance? Like, are they, like, when they're too I ain't saying they're too big because then they slip it off. But like them being too tight. Can that inhibit a man's performance?
I don't know.
Because I have never had a dick.
I'm just saying, have you ever been in a situation where a man was like, I can't get it right because the condom too tight. So it's like, okay, you go get some more?
No, for me, in every situation where he has complained about the condom, it's because he busted too soon. And he was embarrassed.
Gotcha.
But what's the condom got to do with him busting too soon? Does that make that happen?
Ask them. I don't know, girl. That's what they say.
Right? That's what I figured it'd be the opposite. Yeah, without the power, we're like,
lying. It's fine. Just say I got that good. No,
right.
He's
up on that thing.
Right.
But anyway.
And then there was one more thing that made worse. So apparently this was a twofold. So he proceeded to please her by giving lettuce. And it wasn't the bad. He was good at giving.
Pray.
It was good at giving the lettuce. But once she got excited and she started showing that she was excited, he was like, can you control that? I personally would be offended. Like,
what? Is he gay? Right. Because, I mean, who doesn't want all the water?
Right. That positive reinforcement.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. That confirmation that, yeah, you're doing this.
You need to be chasing waterfalls.
You're doing this right. You must chase waterfalls in this instance. There must be some type of waterfall.
That's funny.
It's just like, what you mean?
No, that's definitely a no after saying that.
Yeah, it's like, that means I don't get to be myself. Because it's like, if that's who I am, that's who I am. So you got to let me be who I am.
I know that. Basically, he could not be used to that. Maybe he's never turned a woman on that much before, and he's like, has to be.
That's an issue.
I don't know.
Exactly. Because most men look forward to that.
Exactly.
You let a man know, hey, I can do this, they be like, what? At least in my experience. Now I'm telling too much. I'm sorry. My bad.
That's so silly. But I mean, I don't know. My issue is, I might give it a third time, but it's not going to be no, we, okay, bump to bump one, we done it twice. And then I don't hear from you for like 3 months. And then I'm like, nigga, hell no. I was like 2 months ago. You need to hit me up like the next week or the next couple of days.
Especially
and be like,
if you did not perform well, don't.
Right, all that time that passed, it's like, okay, if you was really trying to see what's up with me, you would have been hitting me up. But it's
literally because you saw, you know, saw him just one time. And it's like, huh.
Right, I forgot how good that day was. Maybe he want to drown again. Shit, who knows?
Maybe.
Nah, he don't want to drown. You're not doing it again, girl, mailbag lady.
Oh, baby T, well, I was right up in the microphone. Welcome to the club, baby
I
T.
Talk.
Right? So, getting back to romance versus finance, ladies, I hate talking about this because I feel like it just turns into such a heated debate, and women can't talk about how they want a man to have money without sounding like gold diggers. Not even that you want a man to have money. I feel like women just can't talk about wanting to be financially set in their marriage or in their relationships without sounding like they are gold diggers or looking for a man specifically with money. So it's just like, I hate having this conversation. But at the same time, I feel like it's a good conversation to have so that we can come to some middle ground and we can, oh, there's no men here. So I guess we won't be understanding what they think. But just so we can be heard.
So something that I've been thinking about lately is she a gold digger or does she just want someone who is financially responsible and financially stable? Because when guys ask me what I want in a man, I always mention that I want somebody who is financially responsible. They don't have to be rich, but right. I've been with a broke man and girl, I ain't going back.
Amen. Okay.
I ain't going back. Sorry.
I mention ambition because I will work with someone that say you working at Amazon, right? Okay, you work at Amazon. You got a job. It's taxable. It's legal. Uncle Sam gonna get his piece. I ain't gotta worry about you going to jail. Cool. But let's just not let Amazon be the only thing you do with your life. Well, hold on. Let me take it back. You could work for Amazon for 20-something years. But let's just not stay in the warehouse picking for Amazon. Let's try and move up to being the supervisor
team
over the warehouse. Team lead, you know, over a couple warehouses, a regional director, you know.
Right.
Like, let's just try and aim for higher rather than just settling for what you can get right now. You may not necessarily have gone to college. There are plenty of people who never went to college or went to college, drop out, and end up becoming successful. Everyone takes different routes in life. My thing is, just let's just not settle. So I say ambition because I want to know that you have some type of plan or drive. Like, you can tell me, yeah, I'm picking for Amazon, but that's not where I'm going to be forever. That could be while I'm saving money to go to a trade school, or I'm working my way up in the company, or I'm trying to get this experience because eventually I want to have my own warehouse business. Like, just let me see that you got some goals and some direction. That's what I'm mainly looking
when
at.
When you say ambition, I always think, he got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he bopping floor, next week it's the fries. But I mean,
she exactly.
I know you should be trying to move up in any place you are, you know?
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, I want you to be ambitious, and if you tell me that you have goals, I will
hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully he won't have a problem with that, because I have had a boyfriend who had a problem with me holding him accountable to what he said he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, and that can cause
conflict. If you're an ambitious woman, someone who wants better for herself, and the person you're with doesn't, and they're fine with being at Amazon picking or the fries, you're not going to be happy. And if you're working at Amazon, what they work, 10, 12 hour days, you're going to be tired. So we're not going to be able to spend that much time together to talk about these goals that you got.
Right. Our children aren't going to be around you that often.
And the days you have off, I'm going to be working, because I work Monday through Friday. Your schedule is different from mine, and it's just,
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like Lex said, you can start at a certain place, but you should just want to see, be at the next level. You know, I'm a server, so I see families come in all the time, and they'll have like 3 and 4 kids, and I'll just be like, damn, how can y'all afford to have all these kids? And y'all got that nice ass truck outside. And y'all... But I'll just be thinking, you know, when they first got married, they probably both were working entry level jobs, you know what I mean? Or, you know, and as they had more kids, they probably said, okay, we want to have more kids, so I'm going to go for this promotion. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to take my family vacation, so I'm going to go for this promotion. And the wife probably went for her promotions too, but it's just like, you can start with somebody at a very, I won't say basic, because basic has a negative connotation.
You can start at the bottom.
But you can start at the bottom
and work your way up and be like, now we here, you know?
And you both will appreciate each other in life more with that. But I feel like it's hard also.
Yes,
because we see the right now, and we feel the struggles of right now. It's just like, oh,
because the stress of being with a broke man, like, the stress of being with a broke man is, in my situation, it was hard. Like,
it was very hard.
It was very difficult. And not only was he broke, but our relationship was not that healthy. So it was, you know, towards the end of it, it was a pretty miserable situation for the both of us, because we were just growing in different directions. I was ambitious. He wasn't. I wanted more. He didn't. And the thing is, he had a good job and he made good money, but he was financially irresponsible.
That'll kill it, girl.
Ooh, that'll mess it up every time.
But so I have a question. Would money make you stay if you're in a relationship and you're not the happiest and he's stepping out from time to time?
Money if he, ain't worth if my you knew, sanity.
That's sorry. A good, yeah.
Money is not worth my sanity.
I don't know.
Because I'm the same with it, like, if with a job. Like, a lot of people say, so, like, for example, I recently lost my job a couple weeks ago. I'm working part time still at Chance. Shout out to the part time job, but I lost my main job a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I've been, I applied to different stuff and, you know, I've done a couple interviews and things. And my dad was called me, checking up on me, seeing how things were going. And my field is social work. So one of the things with social work is I have my BSW, but I really need to get my master's to really do what I want to do. And if you have a bachelor's, most jobs want you to have like 2 to 5 years of experience. And basically, if you don't have a master's, there's only so many options. So my dad, when he was checking up on stuff, he was asking me, like, you know, basically what else I could do. And I said, well, there's DCS, but I don't want to do that. And before I could go on to explain why, he was like, well, it's not a matter of what you want to do. You need a job. And I think it's easier for parents or people, like, you just need to get a job, because back in the day, it was just based off work experience. No, now you need to have experience in your field. They're looking, they don't look just to see, okay, you've been working consistently. They want to see what type of work you've been doing, what positions you've been holding. And I had to go and also, I had explained to my dad, I was like, Dad, before, it's not about just me not doing it. I can't do DCS, because DCS also don't fit my life. I'd be on call all the time. How am I, what am I going to do if I get a call at 1:30 in the morning? Where am I going to do with Terrence? Or with my mom? Like, if I'm on call somewhere and mom has a seizure and goes to the hospital and I can't leave, what am I supposed to do? Or if I'm with mom, something happens and I get a call, I can't leave mom either. And half the time, you have to depend. You also think about mental health. I've heard bad reviews about DCS in Marion County, that the turnover rate is high.
Yeah, people don't believe it.
Constantly basically going to outpatient therapy and stuff like that because it's so stressful. The burnout is so high. I'm not doing that. No job is worth my mental peace and my sanity. And then my dad's like, okay, well, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah. So it's like, it'd be the same thing with money in a relationship. There's no way I could just stay in a relationship just because they make money. If I gotta work 2 to 3 jobs, I gotta work 2 to 3 jobs. I'll make a way, but yeah. I'm not about to stay in a toxic relationship just because of
money. Now other people do that, but I can't.
I say that because y'all remember when Kobe and Vanessa were talking about getting a divorce, mm-hmm. and she was gonna take 50% of everything he had, like all his money.
Well, right.
All the half of it.
Right.
And then you just didn't hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I personally couldn't stay just because I can't even date a guy that gets on my nerves, let alone mm-hmm. like wake up to you every day.
I'd
like,
be so annoyed.
That's one of those situations where they say like you can have all the money but you still be miserable. But it does, I don't know, in my broke life right now it sounds great. But I just feel like I'll wake up in 30 years looking at this man like, ugh, I hate your fucking good. Shut the fuck up talking to me.
Right.
So like, I just can't do it.
Like, I knew I should have left when I had the chance.
But I think Vanessa and Kobe might be different because I feel like they've been together for so long.
And they have children.
Right. And see, I think that's how it is when you have kids, too. I feel like it's different when you have kids because it's like you had kids with this man and you watched him raise them. And so you'd be like, oh, this is our family. Mm-hmm. I can't bring another man in on this. Which I don't know. I've never been married, but I feel like that's how married women look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like people like Vanessa didn't leave Kobe, you know?
Yeah.
Which I don't know.
Got a whole lot more invested.
Well, let's take it to something relatable. Insecure, when Lawrence was on that damn couch in them sweatpants.
For 2 years.
Crazy.
Nah, bruh.
I don't think I would have cheated though. I might have did something, but it wouldn't have been cheating. I might have just broke up, right? I'd be like, nigga, this ain't gonna work.
Because my limit would have been
the birthday would have been my limit because I love my birthday, and so for you to forget my birthday. But I don't know. I've been in that situation before, and I cheated too. I don't know.
My thing for him to blame, like, I bombed another interview. I'm like, why are we having all these troubles with interviews? And, like, you can't, like, I don't know the backstory. We haven't gone to a full backstory, but I'm assuming they met in college, right?
Because they were together for five years.
So, So, I'm like, I'm assuming y'all met in college. I'm assuming you have a degree. Why are you having all these issues about my interviews?
Like, and I like that when, after they broke up, I can't remember what episode it is, but they were at something, and she was talking about how she cheated on Lawrence, and she felt horrible, and he had to learn to trust her again or something. And Kelly was like, well, he was on your couch for 2 of those years. Don't forget that.
Right.
And I was like, yes, don't forget
that's
that.
That's a reminder. But, I mean, I feel like if you're going to cheat, I wouldn't cheat on a guy just because he's broke. I mean, because, well, it's hard to say because he wasn't broke when she entered the relationship. Because it's like,
he had ambition before because he started that app, but I guess that's the thing. I want them to do a backstory. I guess over time, He lost it. I guess he wasn't.
Because I don't feel like
industry he wanted to be, and a part of it was he had just had too much pride. That's, I think, another issue.
Well, yeah, I think he definitely had, so his pride was an issue, but I don't think it was the lack of finance that broke their relationship. At least they didn't play up the finance piece. They weren't fighting over money. But I think it was his lack of ambition or his lack of, like, perceived by her, obviously, you know.
Because at that point, she was carrying everything. She was carrying the finance. She was carrying the emotion support. Because I think she said something in the finale about, like, or one of them said, like, I expected you to be strong for the both of us. And then, I mean, when you think about it, that's taxing on a person.
Yeah.
I think she said that to him.
And she didn't exactly... She didn't really call by name the money issues, but when he didn't want to take the Best Buy job, she was like, you know, you should just take it because you don't have a job right now.
Right.
So I think, like, if you infer to just the different situations that they had, that the money was bothering her. And so now, after they broke up, she didn't have... But that is what's so crazy to me, because when they were together, he didn't have a job, but I guess his little bit of unemployment money was helping with the bills.
True.
Because shortly after he got the good paying job, they broke up and she was by herself. But it's like the situation shouldn't have been new to her of carrying the financial load just because he was on the couch for 2 years.
Right, this is very true. It should have been no big deal. Which, I don't know, which this isn't about. This is an episode about breakups, but they say before a woman breaks up, she's already ready in her head. So she's probably already thinking, she didn't break up. They broke up because she cheated. But she's probably thinking, I mean, what are you good for? I'm paying the bills by myself.
That's what happened to me.
Which is sad to look at it like that. But I think it is.
And if you live with someone, it's hard to break up with them. It really is hard.
Definitely.
Yeah, but like, even the very first episode of season one, she was mentioning, like, I feel like we're stuck and we're in the same rut. And so that's why I say lack of ambition, because it was like, you had all of it at one time. Mm-hmm. And then whenever she asked him about Gens, he just kept saying, I'm going to do my business plan. Okay. So when? Like, when are we going to do this? Like, it was like empty promises as well. So it's like, you keep saying you're going to, but then you never do.
Yeah, I feel that. But what about when it's like the woman that, or if you both are in a financial struggle? I've been with the guy where, like, when we first started dating, I was working as an assistant manager, making pretty decent money. He had two jobs, so he was making decent money. And then just like, we entered the relationship, and then we both lost our jobs. And it was just like, here we are. Now we're both broke, but we still got all these bills. Like, would you still expect, I mean, I don't know, how would you guys react in that situation?
I mean, in that situation, we both down. We both need to find jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely.
It's called, we both got to survive.
And I definitely, I think I found one before he did. And I feel like that's kind of where I also felt like, if I can find a job, if I can get out here and walk to places, you don't mean to do what I have to do to find a job. Why can't you do the same? And I feel like that's kind of a woman's frustration a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can do it, come on, you're the man, you're supposed to lead.
And I really hate to emasculate a man.
Me too. That's really why I hate even bringing it up.
But it's like, am I emasculating you or am I keeping it real? Like, why I gotta say it?
Right, because if I don't say anything.
Not a nice way is to say that I was saying it in a nasty way, but like, why do I have to baby you? Like, hey, you should, did you get any interviews or have you looked for any jobs today?
Oh, I pulled these up for you. I pulled up these job posts. Yeah. Like, but see, and that's what I hate, because I feel like, today, I feel like somebody tried to check me and tell me that I speak negatively about men, but that's not even, I've been more likely to help you try to look for a job or to pull up job posting for you online or something like that than I am to say, you need to find a job, nigga, because our bills are due. You know what I mean? So I just feel like people don't see our side of it when we say we want a man to be financially stable or we want a man to be held accountable. We don't want to bitch at you. We just want you to do what we're doing.
Especially
we want you to pull your weight.
I feel like we hold our tongue for so long before we start bitching about stuff.
Girl, I said the exact words. I want to snap three times.
But we really do. So
we do. Yes,
we might be bitching, but he was like, Lawrence, he was on the couch for 2 years. She let him stay on the couch for two years.
That's a long time. I couldn't even do 5 months. I don't even know if it was that long. But
at 6 months, I'd have been like, so where we at?
Right.
Maybe, okay, so getting a job is not the right. Maybe let's try going back to school, job corps,
get that refund check,
trade,
you know?
something. Like we've got to figure out something. We've got to. Because I had like my ex and I grew up together, and when we did get in a relationship, I was in college at the time, and I was working part time, so it's not like I had any money or nothing. I was a college student, but he was a little older, and he was making all these promises, like, you know, you're going to graduate soon. I want us to spend our life together. Like, I can see, I want to marry you one day. I'm going to get my act together, because he made a lot of different mistakes. Right. He's like, I'm going to get a job. I got to go to school, whatever I got to do. I'm like, okay, if you're really serious, you got to show me that. Like, don't tell me you're going to do this and then you don't do it. So then for him, it was like he would be looking for jobs. And it's not like he doesn't work or he's not a hard worker. It's just a matter, it's kind of like, I feel like it's a comfort zone sometimes. Like, you're just so used to just either someone else doing it for you, or you're too afraid to actually go for what you want. You just settle for staying right here. Now, eventually it didn't work out, not because of the financial stuff, because he cheated. But even now, like, I see he's even still in that same mindset with that kind of stuff. So it's like, we still wouldn't have worked out, because you're still not trying to elevate. You're still not trying to go anywhere different. And you still have the same mentality about a lot of stuff. So we wouldn't have been anything.
I feel you. So you guys, you like pay attention to when you're dating a guy, you pay attention to his spending habits?
I do. I've started to since the last situation I was in. I really have. I just look at things like, what's your gas hand on when we're in the car, and what you drinking when we go out to eat.
What kind of drinks you be looking for? What does that tell you?
Well, every time I go to a restaurant, I get water, because I don't want to spend a lot of money, and I actually like water.
Yeah, me too. Especially with a good meal. Ain't nothing like some ice cold water with a fire-ass meal.
Girl,
you just be like, Lord, this water is giving my soul life.
But I pay attention to if he says, like,
I need to save money for this, or I'm saving money for that, or I'm planning to purchase this, or I don't know, just little things like that. Or if he eats a lot of fast food, if he's buying a lot of weed, just little small things that kind of give you a peek into their spending habits. I have one guy friend, I'd be like, what you doing this weekend? And he was like, nothing, I ain't trying to spend no money.
Right. See, I like that. I sit at home a lot because I've been only trying to spend no money. And you know what? Honestly, that's the only good thing about having a child. Don't get me wrong. They cost a lot of money. A lot. But not having a babysitter and sitting at home, it's like, come Monday morning, I'd be having so much money. And I'd just be like, damn.
Girl,
when I was 21, I was, you know, in the club buying everybody drinks.
Got $5.
Right? Like, exactly. So it's just like, I can appreciate people that have the willpower to sit at home without having a kid. God knew what I needed.
Yeah, I put my PayPal link on my Instagram. Like, maybe somebody will send me some money.
Right, you know,
because I'm pretty.
First of all, let's talk about that, because I saw a girl on Facebook say something like, I need my hair done and my kids' daycare paid. It's only XYZ dollars. And a dude was like, I just sent you a PayPal comment on the status. And I'm just like, is this the new hustle? That's what I'm like, is this the new thing? You put on Facebook, you need this, and people say, I'll put this on your PayPal, like...
I think it is. I have a friend who plugs her PayPal and people actually send out money. Like,
why? I'm so late to all the game.
Exactly,
like, this is why I have zero game, because I'm so behind. I live in a rock. That's crazy.
I wanted to. Oh, okay. So let's flip it. We've been talking about, like, men.
I know. I feel like we're bashing men because I've been bashed for bashing men today.
Oh, yeah. I have an uncle. And he's married to a woman who is more financially successful than he is. She is a successful nurse. She can buy whatever she wants to buy. All of her kids are grown. She can do what she wants to do. She can go on a trip whenever she wants to go. And so she'll say, let's go here. And he'll be like, you know, I don't have the money for that. And she'll say, well, I'll pay for it. And they're married, so, you know, it should be no big deal.
Yeah.
But he won't accept everything that she's trying to give him, just because...
How long have they been married?
He's a man. A year. And I think they probably dated for, like, a year before they got married, but...
That's fine.
Men... I wish we had a man right now to give us his perspective on that, but... Just from what we know about men being prideful, right, and wanting to be the breadwinner, but society putting that pressure on him to be that way.
Right. I mean, from what I gathered today is men don't mind asking their lady for help, but they don't want it to ever be financial help.
Yeah.
They will ask a lady, you know, I'm hungry. Can I come eat? Can you give me a ride? Can I come lay on your couch? Whatever. But they'll never say, can I borrow $100?
I just need to talk to somebody.
Right. But they'll never ask for money, which, I mean... I don't know if I should respect that, or if I should, or if I want you to be like, shit, ask me. But I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'm broke too, so I can't even help you, bro. But no, I'm just kidding. But
I don't really like to ask people for stuff either.
Me neither.
Like,
I've never asked a man for money.
When I'm in a relationship, I don't really ask for money. I might say, can I have $10 for this? There was one point when I wasn't working, I'd be like, can I have $10 so I can go out with my friends? And
yeah.
Now I'm sitting here thinking, I asked this nigga for $10. I should have just took a 20 out of his pocket. But anyways.
Right. I mean, I have asked, like, for $20 to go to the club or something when I was in college. But I don't really count that. But I've never really asked a guy to pay a bill or anything. Over the weekend, I did get a flat tire. And there is various men that will text me and say they want to enter whatever, do whatever with me. Not sexual, but just get to know me, or they want to do whatever. And I just feel like, you know, if I hit you guys up and say, hey, can you... maybe bring this or do this for me and I'll pay you back when you get here. I'll give you the cash when you get here. You say, I don't have any money, so I can't do it. Like, I'm telling you I'm going to pay you back. You don't even have the money to... I don't. That's just kind of a red flag in my head. And I wonder, am I wrong for feeling that way? You know, is it wrong? Because I feel like if you hit me up, maybe I can, maybe I can't. You know what I mean? Just depending on the day or depending on what's going on. So I don't know. I wonder, am I wrong for feeling that way? But at the same time, it's just like, bruh, you don't have $50 that I can give right back to you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have $35 I can give right back to you. Like,
but I was talking to somebody and he asked me to borrow $100 and I was like, what? But then again, he wasn't my boyfriend, so that is that is why I gave that reaction. But I don't know. I guess if you're my man, I should say husband.
I've never had a man ask me for money. If they did, I probably would be kind of like, I'd be very skeptical. He'd have to be my long-time boyfriend. If he's not, if he's just like, not my, I'm going to feel like he's using me, like he's trying to get over. Like,
well, what kind of game is this? I have been in that situation where my boyfriend would ask me for money, but I didn't think it was a big deal because at the beginning of our relationship, like, he would spoil me, but as the time went on, things just got worse and worse. And I guess that I was just so willing to give because of the history that we had and how long we had been together. But
see, that's my biggest friend now, that I will give too much and they'll just take it all. Because they will take it all.
It's ruined a small part of who I am, like that giving part of me. Like, definitely. Now if a guy asks me for something, I'll probably just look at him like he's crazy.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you have a fear of being used and giving too much and not being reciprocated, not even monetary. What is monetary?
Monetarily.
Okay. But just like, you're not giving me time, you're not encouraging me or uplifting me or anything. Like, if we're in a relationship and...
I agree with all those things.
You might give me $50, but... Right. I'm a good woman. I cook, I clean, I lift my man up. You want a back massage, I'm going to give you a back massage.
Right, belly rub, all that.
And I'm worth every dime.
Cent, penny. I just agree with everything you're saying right now. Because you're preaching to the choir, and I just feel like men naturally overlook details sometimes. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do. And so it's just
it's biological.
Like, we do all these little things, and it's just like, you know, we just want you to reciprocate in a little way, and sometimes you guys don't do that. And so it's just frustrating. And it's even more frustrating when there's no money in the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, I'm already stressed out. I can't be as stressed out over bills, too.
And it's like, I'm broke. I can't focus on loving you right now. It's love, right? It's light bill. Right. I'm not even going to buy these diapers. Like, I love you so much, but we got to get it together right up in here.
That's it. And I hate when men don't understand where you're coming from, too.
Yeah, we're just always bitching. They don't want to listen to us. That's the thing, if you ask me. But
are there male gold diggers out there?
Yes. Looking for their sugar mamas.
Who? They're looking for sugar mamas.
Where I'm from, there are a lot of male gold diggers. I find a lot of men who are being taken care of by women in the town that I'm from.
Really? People say that's what Indiana is for. A lot of older ladies that I know that are like from down south and stuff, they be like, ain't no good men in Indiana. All these men just want to live off of women. Which, I don't know, I'm trying to keep up alive, but it's a good man still out there for me, Lord. Please, Lord, just let's let him come swoop me up one day. Hop in the DM. But I hear a lot of people say that it's a lot of men that just want to be taken care of. And so that's why I'm like, y'all quick to call us gold diggers. But it's a lot of women out there paying all the bills.
They really aren't.
And they shouldn't be because they're ruining men. Do you think a man should pay all the bills? I always see on Facebook girls talking about a man needs to pay the bills in the house.
And that really gets on my nerves.
Mine too.
That's not the way my parents operated, my mother or my father. My father, he'll be like, I'll pay the mortgage, you get the utilities. Or my mom and my stepdad, they split everything down the middle. And I would not mind doing that. If I am married to you, I live in this house with you, I eat this food, I drive these cars, I take care of these kids with you. I chose to be here. I am going to contribute. I want to contribute. That's what I'm supposed to do. Why would I put all the financial responsibility on a man just because that's what was done in history when women weren't working?
Yeah, I agree.
If I'm making my own money, I will help. This is my stuff too.
And don't get me wrong, I say all the time, I would love to be a stay-at-home mom, or at least spend like maybe, you know, 2-3 days I live with my kids while they're young. Once they get older, they're going to be tired of me, I'm going to be tired of them, so they can go to school and run with their friends. But I would love to do that. But at the same time, it's 2017. How realistic is that? That's what I'm talking about. How realistic is that? So, hell no, I don't mind going to work. Like, why would I expect a man to pay the bills? And other than that, I don't want my man to be tired all the time. I don't want him to be stressed out because he feels like if he does something wrong at his job, everything is going to go downhill. Okay, sorry, y'all. We had to take a little mommy break per usual. But, yeah, I don't mind being a stay-at-home mom. And I know I probably will have to work. And I don't mind working either. But I just feel like a woman should not put all the pressure on her man. And that's what I was saying. It's just like, I don't want my man to be tired. I don't want him to feel like, if I hate my job and if I decide I want to do something else, how am I going to support my family? Because we're only on this one income and we fixed our life on this one income. You know what I mean? I just don't want it to be like, I want him to be able to come home and be happy and not just look at us as like a financial burden too, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like when my grandparents were married, my grandma only worked because she wanted to. She didn't have to work. And so I feel like, you know, that probably was a lot of stress on my granddad.
Which I don't know. My dad has that same lifestyle, and I think he likes it. So,
but back
know.
In the Maybe day, the that's man. How it was. So mm-hmm. that's probably what they're used to. So I would say,
can you ladies be the breadwinner in your house?
I mean, I mean, if I was, like, it wouldn't bother me if I, because, like, what if I, like, what if my husband was a teacher or something like that?
Yeah.
We know teachers don't make that much that's in true. Education, and that's totally unfair, but I would never throw it in a man's face. I think that's the problem, is throwing yeah. it in a man's face and making him feel like he's less.
Because men are emotional. That's gonna hurt a man mm-hmm. if you do that to him, and he's like, gonna look at you differently after that.
Like Tasha kept doing on Why'd I Get Married to Marcus. He mm-hmm. kept, like she kept doing that because you know he was a pro football player, got hurt. He had to start working for her in her shop. But yet, like she kept throwing. It's like, can you write a check? Can you do this? And then it was like it got to the point where it was just like, dang, okay, like we get it.
And she was doing that publicly. That's
right. Yeah. That's what I know it was funny, but that was kind of toxic, very toxic yeah. actually.
And then he had to finally come back. Was like, hey, girl, let's remember where you started. It was I who gave you money to even start the shop in the first place. And I've always been at Let You Shine. I never asked you to like.
Peanuts
tone it down or nothing like that.
So, to that point, me and a girl at the work were talking the other day, and we were talking about white men versus black men, and she was saying that she feels like white men are more likely to support you financially and in general than black men, which I don't know if I agree with per se, but her basis was that, like, if you and your boyfriend, if you meet a guy, a white guy, and you're not exactly where you want to be, a white guy will be like, oh, babe, you know, I want to support you. I want to see you do well, so I'm going to invest X, Y, Z into you. Where a black guy is going to be like, oh, she's a broke bitch. She ain't got nothing. I don't got time. And he's not even going to give you the time of day.
I believe that. Because,
do you guys agree with that or disagree?
I mean, history shows that African-American families
I would like to disagree when you brought up the history.
Who don't have generational wealth.
That's true.
And that is because somewhere down the line, way, 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 way back in the day, when men were the breadwinners, something was not registering with them. And so I do believe that I feel like a white man would support me financially before a black man would. I mean, if I find the right black man, I'm sure he will, but it's more white men in the world than black men.
I mean, well, yeah, that's true. But I mean, as far as, like, not even support you financially, but, like, if you meet a man and he's further in his career than you, do you think a white man is more likely to take his time and date a woman who's less far in her career than a black man?
Yes, because history has shown.
So, Lex, why don't you think so?
I'm just saying, think about it. Like, white men have stay-at-home wives a lot of the times.
Yeah, they do.
So, but if you look at it from that aspect.
But the reason why I feel like a white man would not support me is, and this could just be me being narrow-minded, but I feel like I'm going to call it like I see it. I feel like it comes down to superiority and as history has shown, as mm-hmm. in race. I feel like a white man is not going to immediately support me financially in my own endeavors. Not saying like every white man is like that, but culturally speaking, if I'm less than he is, and especially if he comes from let that white man come from a prestigious family,
girl,
or they is related to whoever owned Procter and Gamble or you know something like that. You let me come talking about, well, I have a child from a previous involvement and I only have a bachelor's right now and I have to work two jobs. This family gonna look at me like, excuse me? When you, especially if they're around like that type of atmosphere where there's socialites and good breeding and all that kind of stuff,
yeah, that's
I
true.
Personally don't feel like a white. I'm gonna look weird and. Well, look at me like, what well, Elitism, are you doing here? You
don't belong in our world. Culture, though.
Cause even okay, so perfect example. Mm. I know I pull everything from movies, but these be real life examples. So the family that prays.
Perfect. I knew you was gonna say
you
that.
Knew I was gonna, you knew I was thing. Going in.
We need to stop all this. People are gonna question our credibility if we keep quoting Tyler Perry.
I know.
Like, Tyler Perry of all people.
Right. But he be writing about real life scenarios. You gotta give this man credit where credit is due. He be writing about real life scenarios. And in The Family That Prays, I feel like that was one of like the realest scenarios as a black. She was, because Sonali was a black woman. She was smart. She had her master's degree. She graduated top of her class and thought she was going to have the white man of her dreams, who was rich and successful, came from family, thought he was going to leave both her mama And the white woman said, he is not going to leave you.
Well, that's different though, because no married man is gonna leave his.
And she was married as well. Yeah. She was rude. She was disrespectful to her mother, to her husband. There was no way anything. Right. Good was I'm talking about
if
her.
You just. Mm-hmm. And I was like, elitism exists in any culture, any race. There's black families like that that still would accept me with this baby too, just
and
because
that's
they
true.
Feel
that's
like.
All, and this so, in black families.
I'm just saying,
like
just if you think a regular man, both 25. Both college graduates, both are like, don't. I'm not saying take it to the extreme of who's racist or, you know, just mm-hmm. if you think just like regular guys, white versus
just
black.
White versus black. But I do agree with you. I always say I couldn't date a white man because I would feel like a slave.
I don't think I would feel like a slave.
I would just always be questioning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are white folks that are down for the cause and genuinely down for the cause. But at the same time, I'd be like, are you telling me? It'd be like in Get Out when the dad felt someone kind of saying, you know, we voted for Obama. And the daughter kept saying, you know, they voted for Obama. They're not racist. They're not.
I don't know. You gotta. I feel like you have to open your mind a little bit. I used to think I couldn't date a white guy, and I still haven't. But when I see people come in the restaurant and it's like a 40-something-year-old family and they got older kids and it's a black woman and a white man, and I'd be thinking she probably gets stared at weird a lot, but she did what made her happy. And that's what I'd be thinking, like, who's gonna make me happy?
Yeah.
And so I had to rule out.
I wouldn't stare at someone for their, like, I'm not
well,
gonna
I, well,
judge
I didn't
you.
Stare at them. I'm yeah. saying I'm sure she's got stares. I'm sure people look at her like black woman, white man, especially if they've been dating for 20 years or something. It's 2017 now, back in like the 90s, whatever. I'm sure people look at them weird, but I just be thinking she just dated who made her happy. And so I just feel like I won't rule out one side over the other. And I probably will never date a white guy. I don't know. Maybe I will. But it's just like I try to keep my mind open. But I just wonder how that played into finances, because I feel like that's how white people. I feel like white people keep their generational wealth because
they
stay married longer. They don't get divorced. Mm-hmm. White women. I feel like white women take them secrets to the grave. They don't care what's happening in their household.
Stocks, they are gonna. Bonds. They have CDs. They know how to make and move. They have financial advisors.
But even outside of that, my point is they don't split up their families.
Cool.
Like I feel like, and I don't want to keep saying white women, but I feel like smart women are women who. Or thinking about their children's future, be like, you know what? I'm not going to take my kids away for long as money. Even though I could still get half of it, I'm not going to split up my household when I can just keep you all whole in one. That's more for them.
Yeah,
you know?
You make sure they're taken care of, because you never know how many.
And that's the ultimate sacrifice.
Split.
But I feel like if you want your lineage all down the line to be taken care of, and you want to keep that generational wealth, you have to do that. That could be a closed mind view on my part. I don't know.
But that's another aspect of looking at. Would money make you stay?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. If you look at
it wouldn't make me
way.
Go, but if I had been there long enough, it might make me stay. I'm not gonna lie. Not just money, but if I've been married to a guy for, you know, 10 years and I find out he has a side chick, or if I find out he doesn't have as much money as I thought he did, or if I find out, you know, anything, I might just be like, well, shit, I already love his dumb ass. Damn it, he got me.
Yeah, instead of going to find a whole new dummy to love.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how dumb he is, I might have to just run out. But I don't know.
I think it would just depend. Like Beyonce and Jay-Z, there's been clear infidelity. She done said it.
Do y'all think Beyonce's ever cheated on Jay-Z?
No.
You don't think so? I don't think so. I ain't gonna shame my queen.
I don't think so.
But real women take their secrets to the grave.
Right. Especially, we do it better than them.
Yes.
Apart from them working it out, which I'm all for married couples working through their issues and being to be happy. So I'm all for that. But I'm sure they sat back and thought about, look, his net worth, my net worth.
I mean, Beyonce don't need his money.
She don't. But at the end, but they while they have their individual stuff, they got stuff together.
I'm sure they do.
So then, when you got to think about that, like,
but she's still. I'm sure even if they got divorced, he still probably wouldn't take that from her. He still probably would say.
I don't think they would be petty about that because they have so much.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But you know how they always say, like, it's cheaper to keep her. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. Like,
but I think Jay-Z legit loves her.
Oh yeah,
he but might I, do his dirt, but I think he loves his wife.
Oh yeah, but when I think of the phrase like it's cheaper to keep her, I don't think of just the whole divvying of assets. I think about the legal fees and the court fees and the attorneys,
mm-hmm.
and
child support.
Yes, the alimony, all
spousal support,
yeah,
in their case.
All that kind of stuff. You got, and then you got to think if you got real estate ventures, business ventures with your names on it. Like,
and you know what else?
Who's keeping the majority in the company of the stock? And there's so much that goes into it.
You know what else they got to think about? That they probably got a big ass house and don't even got to see each other. They might not even be happy for all we know.
I feel like that helps a marriage. I would love to be able to.
They fronted
after when the first talk came out about him cheating on her and how much they just didn't even think about it too much.
Yeah, plus they both have such big careers. They're probably on tour. They're probably not even together a lot, you know?
Yeah, they made babies.
Enough to know. Well, yeah. It only takes one time, right? A few minutes. You don't even gotta have sex these days,
right? But so since none of us are married, how does finance play into your romantic life as like dating?
I would say, well, I would look as far as I'm a very words and I look at words and lining up with actions and actions lining up with your words. So. You know, I don't judge because, like, we all have our moments where we overindulge, we spend a little too much, but I do believe in having priorities. So, if you spending rent money on J's, that's a problem.
I haven't ran into that problem in some years. You know, I've never ran into that problem.
Must be nice.
If you out turning up and your lights are off, that you got a bra from your mama, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
You know, stuff like, I look at things like that because... It's harder now. Like, I'm trying to build up my crap. I don't even know my first grades right now.
We don't got to talk about it.
Right. I don't want to think about it.
It doesn't have to be a part of the discussion.
Yeah, I just don't. Maybe like, so, do you know what your credit score is? I'm like, you know. I don't know what it is.
It's kind of a personal
question. But just know, I'm working on getting it up there. Because I want it to be A1 eventually.
Right.
I've been working on it. I ain't got no credit card debt or nothing like that. But it ain't. It ain't excellent, I can tell you that.
Oh, I got a funny story. So I had a credit card in college and I never paid it off. You know, after 7 years it gets deleted off your credit report. So it just got removed from my credit report. The Discover called me the other day and I didn't know who it was, so I called back, and when they answered the phone and told me it was Discover, I was like, I don't have my bank card on me right now. Can I call you back? Oh, it's gonna go to a different person, isn't it? Just acting like I was really gonna call them back. Right. But I could tell she was like, yeah, you can just call this number and ask for April. I was like, right. Okay, have a good day. I'm right. calling you back.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't on my credit report.
Right at all.
Yeah, so I look at those kind of things as far as dating. And then I do try to still kind of see where are you at. Are you living in a one-bedroom apartment? Do you have a roommate? Because I get folks have roommates because...
I've thought about it, but I just do better alone. I'm not...
People yeah, and if you're better... Yeah, you know, if you're better off alone, put that hey, back. That's all. But if you have a room, if you've got a two-bedroom and y'all splitting the ring, you living with your boy, hey, I can't be mad at you because 500 is better... Between 1,000 between two people, 500 pieces is a whole lot better than paying 1,000 by yourself.
Yeah.
So
I can support a person having financial goals. And actually, if you're a man with a plan, okay, I can support your plan. But if you're just out here living with somebody and you're not saving no money, you're just doing this and you're just spending all your money, that's a problem. But a man with a plan is always the way to go. I'll be a stand for you.
Yes.
Making a rhyme.
It's all about having a plan and actually executing that plan.
But on the flip side, as we're dating and trying to prepare for marriage, which Monika said she's not getting married. Hopefully she does.
Nope.
Unless she doesn't want to. She doesn't have to. But as you're dating and preparing for marriage, how do you look at that? Look at your own finances. And how does that affect how you work your own finances?
I'll be feeling bad.
That
I do,
because
I be like...
The honesty.
Right.
I'm going to be honest. It's not like I just be spending money frivolously or shopping sprees and nothing like that, but I be feeling bad because it be like, dang, I got a whole bachelor's degree and I still got to work two jobs. I got medical bills.
Girl,
but that's America.
That's real grown up.
I'm about to go back to school again and acquire more debt.
Girl, this is for your education. Don't even
stress it. It is, but you know when you get married, your debt and his debt become y'all's debt. And then I be feeling bad about bringing that into the marriage. So I just be like... I'll at least try and get most of it together, or at least some of it together.
But even outside of your debt, though, do you try to, like... change your spending habits, or do you try to like prepare your... I mean, I don't know. Do you think about, well, marriage? I don't know. I always think about my finances and I think about, man, will God want to date me with these finances? And I think about, oh my God, when I get married, I don't know. I just really take it into account with my thoughts. I could probably be more purposeful with my actions, but
I was talking to
because I'll still buy a cheeseburger when I have like $5 to my name.
And he seemed like he was a pretty high maintenance guy. He liked nice things. And I was just like,
it made me feel insecure because at the time I wasn't in the best financial situation. I didn't have a car. I was living with my dad and I was just trying to get on my feet. I had just moved up here. And so I stopped talking to him because I didn't like the way it made me feel. And that was me. That wasn't him. He wasn't putting any kind of pressure on me. But just from little things that he would say, I would just be like, I'm not the one for him because I'm poor.
Right. I've had that feeling too. And it's just like, well, moving along.
And it's like naturally you want someone who, like we said, it's financially stable or more established, and then it's like, damn, it makes you like, dang, they so established, and I love that about you. Right. I ain't completely established.
But why would they do that to ourselves? And do we think that God? Well, do you think guys will really not take us up?
Or women? If we're looking at it from both sides,
yeah. Like, do we really pass up on people because they don't have a certain amount of money?
Well, I have two kids, so I will admit that I do, because right now for me it's about survival. And if I make enough money to support myself and my two children by myself without child support, working one job and going to school, then I feel like a man should be able to bring some of that to the table. And that's how I feel too. It motivates me to do better and be better, because if that's what I want and that's what I want to attract, then I need to have that mindset and be working on those things myself.
You know what? Maybe that's why my expectations and my standards are so high, because I do it all myself. So it's just like, for the most part, so it's just like, why can't you do it too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where that comes from. Because I don't feel like my standards are incredibly high, but people make it seem like they are when it comes to having a guy, to wanting a guy that has all of those things in order.
Or at least, even if you don't have them all in order, like, again, just be working towards having it in order. Like,
even if it's just in your mind.
Yeah, like, just be doing something. Like, even if all you, like, if, like, your first step is just having a savings account and you're making sure you put a little mad money away. I respect that. Right. I'm trying. I have a savings account. I want to be able to put a little mad money away, too. Right. That's one of my financial goals, is to actually be able to save. And then I get mad when I'm not able to, because by the time all the bills come out, it's like, well, I need to keep this to make it to the next paycheck, because I done paid all the bills. I done got groceries and put gas in the car. I need to keep this for when I need to put gas in the car again. Or if Terrence needs something, something comes up. So, like, I'm going to get to the point where I can actually pay all my bills, have money to get to the next paycheck, and save. And I'm also I'm trying to get back better at tithing as well, because a lot of that deals with me.
I was on a date with a guy and his friends were there with us. It was a girl and a guy. It wasn't a double date, but one might have looked at it as such. But one of his friends said something about $130, something being $130. And I said, $130? I spend that on diapers every month. And he was like, wow. And he wanted a lot of kids. In our previous discussion, he said that he wanted a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. So when I told him that I spent $120 on diapers for two, he was like, that is such an adult decision to have to think about. So
it's not even a decision. It's like a
mandatory.
Right. You really have no choice.
So for me, we going to need a little fronance. That's what I can call it. Romance.
That's one thing I hate about dating guys that don't have children. I feel like they just don't understand it sometimes, and so it's just like where you can be more free with your money and I can't, or I'm like, don't pay for that, don't buy that, we don't need that.
Yeah,
just, and you know what I mean,
like, but I feel like even before having a kid, I'm still very like I say, every now and then I may treat myself, but I still look, okay, I'm not paying $20. I don't believe in paying $20 for a shirt. I'm just not going to. Like, I just can't. And that's just because it's like, my mom taught me, like, don't live beyond your means. Yeah. And that's partially because I saw my mother financially struggle, and a lot of it was because, and she admitted me to herself, her spending money frivolously. Now, there was other things going on as to why she was doing it, but yeah, she told me how she ran up credit cards and was shopping and all that stuff. Had to declare bankruptcy when I was 10 years old, and I was just like,
Oh my gosh, was like, literally, yeah. robbing Peter to pay Paul. I haven't asked my therapist for me. So I was like, yeah. I am trying to make it. And I think that's why I get upset with my finances, because from what I saw my mom go through and from what she taught me, I was like, I'm making it a promise to myself to not repeat that same stuff. So like, people are like, you don't have a credit card? No. Even when I try to get like something small, like an Old Navy credit card, just like maybe build up some credit, something I know I can have self-control with. You can't get it because at the time, that's when we was in recession. So now we're too much of a risk. But it's like, even with that, I still like, it's like I would like to have one just for like emergencies or like gas money that you can just pay off easily. But even it still is just like, no, I don't really need a credit card right now. Because then that's one more thing I'm eventually going to have to pay. I want to pay. And it's just like, nope. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that to myself. Don't even need to try. Nope, I'm okay. Like, I just don't.
Right. Well, I don't know. I feel like we probably need to have a part two on this romance and finance, because there's a lot we didn't get to touch on.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more out there. I don't know. I still feel like, I mean, it's just rough right now because we're so young and none of us have reached our full potential yet. So it's hard to tell, like, when you're dating a guy and when a guy's dating you, he doesn't know if you're going to reach your full potential. You don't know if he's going to reach his.
Yeah,
or
you just never know. Like, true.
That's really the scary
part. So, what if we do a part two with a man on here? So we
definitely
need perspective and the pressures that he feels when it comes to finance and romance.
Because I bet there's a lot of pressure. When they're dating, like the first date, like you can't go too cheap, but they can't go too expensive because they can't break their bank. So
right, yeah, I'm sure it's tough on men because it's a lot of expectations, especially financial. But it's a lot of pressure on women because I don't even have a counterpoint, so I'm gonna just let
it. No, I feel like it's fresh on women too, because what if one day comes, it's like you want to take them on a date, and it's like, dang, all the days they didn't take me was St. Elmo's, and they just dropped the $100 bill, and my ass gotta go on Groupon to take them out on a nice.
But you know what? I would take you to a nice pull up. I mean, a food truck, and be like, let me show you what we can do sometimes, so you don't have to spend your money. Let me show you a cool spot.
That's right, because it doesn't have to be an expensive date. Just something that's thoughtful.
Right. Take me to a food truck. Take a walk while we eat our hot dogs. I'm like, see, babe, we can do this, and you don't have to spend all your money.
Yeah. But do as you please.
Right.
We get married.
If you think I'm worth it, I'll keep.
Now, never mind. If you want to keep treating me, you can. But I just feel like if a man's gonna treat me like that, I'm like, okay, I gotta splurge on him a little bit. At some point. That's what they might
need. I've never had the splurge treatment, so I'll see how I react when I get it.
Tis true. I'm still waiting to really get splurged on.
Be popping the thing for real, nigga. But anyway, Miss Nika has some encouraging words for us to leave out on and to take it to the rest of our week.
Okay. This comes from Words of a Wanderer by Alex L. And this is from day 49. Anger can run and ruin your life if you allow it. Practice expressing disappointment and letting go of hurt in a way that isn't destructive to your growth. Keep pressing forward.
I like that.
It is. That was nice.
I definitely like that. Will you read it one more time for us? For the people in the back?
For the people in the back. Anger can run. I'm just kidding. And ruin your life if you allow it.
I was about to say,
practice expressing disappointment and letting go of hurt in a way that isn't destructive to your growth. Keep pressing forward. I press on toward the goal. It's in the Bible, y'all.
Come on, I press towards the mark. Ha!
Oh my God, I love that quote because I'm dealing with a lot of anger management issues right now. I'm not an angry person. I'm just being court ordered. But
the honesty.
And so I just feel like it's a perfect quote for like where I'm at in my life right now, because you know it's important to, you have the right to your feelings and to feel angry, to feel disappointed, to feel hurt about what's happening to you, but it's all about how you express it. And so, you know, I'm trying to learn better ways to express my feelings and to process them, and apparently I haven't been doing the best job. So
I write in a prayer journal.
I'm going to refrain from writing publicly and write to myself. But thank you for listening to the Ladies Night Podcast. This is Lauren Enchanted. We are signing out. We hope you all have a good week. Happy hump day. Go hump somebody for them finances. Or just hump them because you love them. Just hump them because you love them, right?
So what a free. A little token of my appreciation. That's what you say to them.
Right?
There you go.
Throw that thing on them. But this was Ladies Night. Don't forget to come back next week and grab a glass. Write us your mailbag letter situations. Let us know what's going on in your life, because we probably have really good advice for you.
or not so good advice, but either way, you'll have a story to tell.
A different perspective.
So, right. So, tune in.
You can always be like, you know, they said on ladies' night.
Right. Please some of my friends said, follow us on Twitter at Ladies Night PC, on Instagram at Ladies Night Podcast, like our Facebook page, Ladies Night Podcast on Facebook as well. And just keep in contact with us.
Comment, give us your feedback on the episode.
Slide up in them DMs.
Okay.
We had some feedback on a couple of episodes before. We'll have to share those one day, guys.
Right. We appreciate everybody for listening. But you guys have a good rest of your day or night. And tune in next week.
We out.